The Justin Robert Young Show is brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports patreon.com/JURY. I don't even want to say the milestone that we are extraordinarily close to, but just know that it's very, very exciting for me. I never thought that we were going to hit it, and I don't want to even mention it any further than I am, except to say that it feels like we are on a better footing than we have been. You guys have been so supportive ever since I started giving you guys more value. So here's what you get if you're a patron. Number one, access to every extra thing that I do, and that's a lot of it. For sure, you get the 3-hour, the big 3-hour Friday Hype Train stream for any patron at any level. If you are a politics super fan, you can back at the $3 a week level, and that gets you 2 extra episodes. They're little headline episodes on Monday and Friday. I've gotten great feedback on them, and I want to thank everybody who has supported us. So go ahead and check it out. Patreon.com/JURY. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
Ugly ain't the half, look at you. Well, you got blue teeth and you only got 2 teeth, but I kinda like to see you smile. And it appears that over the years you've turned into a big old steaming pile. And she said, yeah, I know I ain't no supermodel. I said, you ain't a hair bottle, baby, but that's fine. Ugly by most people's standards, but you're all right by mine.
Welcome everybody to the Justin Robert Young Show. My name is Justin Robert Young, but you want to know what? I mean, if we're just all going to be here, go ahead and call me Jerry. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got some great emails. We've got just a wealth of information. We're going to break something loose, baby. We are going to break loose a massive story. A huge story. Shmoo Lord in our Twitch chat says hi. Well, Shmoo Lord, I say hi back to you. Weird day today. I normally do this way earlier in the day. I normally do it around 11 o'clock in the morning. That did not happen today because I got an email late last night from our friends at the Daily Dot who wanted to do another live stream like we did for the Comey hearings for Jeff Sessions, who did a little hearing of himself. Horton hears the Sessions. If you want to listen to that and you're a patron of this fine program, just go ahead and subscribe to your Patreon feed in the podcatcher of your choice. And guess what, friends? It's waiting for you. All goddamn 3 hours of it. If you want to catch up on your civics and you want to be up on the movement of our government whilst I give hilarious running commentary, well, then go ahead and check out, just become a patron. You can become a patron right now. Head on over there. You're going to get a little RSS feed. Pop that right there in your podcatcher. Man, you're going to have it into your ears so fast, your head will spin. Okay. So that's why I'm doing this later. And I got to tell you, the energy's weird. The energy, I can already feel it. The energy's a little weird. If everybody can feel it in the chat, then go ahead and tell me that they can feel that the energy's weird. It's a weird energy. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. I just ate. I streamed all day, didn't eat anything, went to go eat something. It's literally my lunch and dinner at the same time because I got to roll right from this into Night Attack. It's not bad. It's not a bad energy. It's just a weird. It's a weird energy. See, everybody can feel it. It's fine. It's fine. We're going to work our way back into it. But you want to know what? I had a whole big thing I was going to get into early. We're not going to do that. No, we're not. We're going to go for the softballs first. Let's begin with this. I love the fact that we're doing a few more of these stories. Because this is a segment I like to call Life Comes At You Fast. And it does. It does, folks. Life does come at you fast. And here's why. You think that the world is your oyster, you know? Like you think you're living high on the hog. And yet, you're not. To wit, let me introduce you to a little friend of ours. This is from the Daily Mail. Their cheeky 17,000-word headline is, what? There was no in-flight movie then? Stunned Ryanair passengers stare open-mouth as couple romp on Manchester to Ibiza flight. And you can actually here, let's just go ahead and you can see that there's a couple that are humping. The guy is trying to grab the lady's pants. Let's read here. A randy couple romped on a Ryanair. What the fuck is this? You know, the newlywed game? Where's your favorite place to romp? They romped on a Ryanair flight as passengers watched in shock. And one filmed the saucy behavior on his phone. The kinky couple didn't even bother to go to the lavatory and chose to get saucy in the front. What the fuck, man? Saucy? Saucy? Is it because he's going to make sauce from his wiener? Is that why it's saucy? Why is it saucy? Saucy is like, a lewd comment from Samantha on Sex in the City. That's saucy. This is fucking in public. You know, you don't go to some sex club in New Orleans and be like, oh, I want to go to the saucy club. No. All right. Enough with this patrician nonsense. The kinky couple didn't even bother to go to the lavatory and chose to get saucy in front of passengers on the flight from Manchester to Ibiza at 8:20 p.m. yesterday. Passengers watched as the woman clambered on top of her companion and they began to romp an hour into the flight to the party island. Kieran Williams from Preston, Lancashire, was astonished to see the couple's raunchy antics an hour into the flight on the budget airline. I heard them talking about it, but I thought they were joking. The guy was shouting, anyone got a jelly? Meaning condom. Man, tell you what, that guy, can you imagine? You know, obviously, he's somebody who is a bit of a freak, right? You a freak, girl. You a freak, and I know, and I know, and I know. He's probably going to go back to his friends and just say, like, oi, mate, I was halfway to Ibiza, I was, and the next thing you know, I got this bird in my lap, and I'm really giving her the business. I said to her, hey, you got a jelly? We was halfway to Ibiza, mate, and next thing you know, I'm giving her an old... I'm giving her my Cornwallis in her old folds. I was giving her the bee's knees. She clambered on top of me, and I said, hey, girl, you want to get saucy? Now, Renegoo says, no freak shaming, please, in the Twitch chat. And I'm not here to freak shame. No, no, no. Just the opposite. You want to know what? For all the regressive, repressive attitudes that we have towards sex here in the United States, I, for one, would like to say, you want to know what? This isn't the worst thing in the world. Seems like the worst thing that happened was a guy got some really wicked Snapchat material and they didn't seem too upset about it. No, they were looking over saying, yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it. Bet you he went back to his friends, like I said before, and he was just a hero. You want to know what? You run out this timeline a couple years, they could be 80-year-old men, and next thing you know, they're sitting back next to each other and saying, hey, remember that time you shagged that bird on the Ryanair flight to Ibiza? And they clink glasses of warm beer and laugh, a hearty old British man laugh. Ha 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 ha! That's how I'd imagine it sounds as that rumbled into the night air of Lancashire. But life comes at you fast, friends. This segment wouldn't be called Life Comes At You Fast if it came at you slow. And it seems that life has come even faster than this man on the Ryanair flight to Ibiza. Because this is a fun little story. It doesn't is bereft of heartbreak. And I'll bet you that guy got to Ibiza thinking, you want to know what? Life is rad. I enjoy the cards that I've been dealt. You know, until you go ahead and read this story that just came out today. Man had sex with stranger on Ryanair flight while pregnant fiance was at home. Oh. We read from this flight. This pair shocked passengers on the plane from Manchester to Ibiza on Friday when the blonde woman was seen straddling the man. Footage shows the man in the middle seat with a woman on top of him before he asked people around him for a condom. Initially, the pair appeared to be just a boozy couple with up to no good on a plane, but it has now emerged that 31-year-old Sean Edmondson from Cumbria had never actually met the woman before the plane journey. According to a friend of the 31-year-old, who is known as a ladies' man, he was on his own stag do while his preggers fiance, Jenna Ross, 25, waited for him at home. The friends of Sean told the Sun, that's just a random woman he's with. They didn't know each other before the day. Oh. He doesn't seem to be too bothered that he's left his 6 months pregnant wife to be at home while he cavorts with random strangers. Life comes at you fast, friends. Fast. Max Trollbot says, is this news? You're Max Trollbot. You don't get to decide whether or not this is news or not. And yes, it is news. It is kind of doxing, though, isn't it? Isn't it? Because here's what happens. Here's how I imagine this happens. I'm going to take a wild guess. Take a wild guess. So all of a sudden, this guy goes and gets freaky on a plane, right? Now, you can only guess that word would get around on something like that, you know? And also, what? I'll tell you what. If I would have to have a really, really, really good reason. TVC got in the Twitch chat, says, democracy dies in the dark and drunk Brits bang on planes. That's the new expanded Washington Post. I would have to have an amazing reason for me to go to, I guess, what would be the American equivalent of Ibiza? Like Puerto Vallarta, something like that. Maybe Vegas. Like, if I was going to, like, a party city. Like, an absolute debaucherous party destination if Ashley were 6 months pregnant. I don't think that I would be able to swing that. Let alone fuck a stranger on the plane. I feel like that one would be a real... That would be what I would call a real sticky conversation when I got back. Not just because hopefully by then I'd wash my hands. Hello. But this is chalked up, this person here, according to a friend of the 31-year-old. This is not a friend of the 31-year-old. This is a friend of the fiancé, right? You know, what friend, I wouldn't imagine a friend of mine would, quote, he doesn't seem to be too bothered that he left his 6 months pregnant wife to be at home while he cavorts with random strangers. Like, that's no, if you are that friend, I don't care what the son paid you. If you are that friend, you know, you're no longer my friend. How to Solve for X says, what, they didn't offer peanuts? I mean, I feel like there was already enough nuts busted on that flight. Whack-a-wa-now, telling jokes about cum, you see. All right, let's move on. Life came at him fast. Life came at that man too fast. How about this one? This is a segment we like to call The Road Ahead. It's The Road Ahead, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to read this without showing you guys what it is first, so I can paint a picture in your mind's eye. A property owner in Tiverton, Rhode Island. Where's the buck? Where's the buck? Does the buck know where Tiverton is? Spoiler alert, it's less than 30 minutes from where he lives, because everything in Rhode Island is less than 30 minutes from where everything is. Tiverton, Rhode Island, used several tons of clams to pave an access road. Well, that sounds quaint, right? You know, you jump a bunch of clams there. You pave. I mean, after all, it's going to be gravel anyway. So this is going to be an interesting way that all of this comes together, right? Like, you're going to have some cars drive over it. It's all going to wind up becoming gravel anyway. Seems all right. Seems like a good, it's local. It'll have a little bit of that fresh sea scent. You know, I don't know if that's a thing. The buck who's in Rhode Island, is that a thing where people use clams for their access roads? Tiverton, the Ibiza of America, is a way that they should. They should bill themselves from here on out. Although, as soon as I read the rest of this article, I don't know exactly how much you're going to be in the mood to fuck on the way there via your plane. Because, see, here's the problem. David Rose unloaded several truckloads of unwashed clamshells onto the access road. As a cheaper alternative to gravel. As soon as they saw what was going on, Rose's neighbors told him to use washed shells instead, as the ones he was unloading still had visible clam meat on them that would start to rot. He apparently declined their offer and stuck to his original plan. After three rainy days, the sun came out over Tiverton, but with it came, and I quote, maggots, flies, and a stench that neighbors describe as unbearable. Let's get a closer look here at these clams surrounded by maggots. Quote, everything is sort of taken over by this stench of decaying, says Blair Moore, who lives close to the decaying clam road. Now that is a sentence. That is a sentence. Blair Moore, who lives close to the decaying Clam Road, only bettered by her quote, "The smell, period. The smell is atrocious. It's like bodies decaying," says Sharon Moore, another local. Neighbors have started a petition to get the clamshells removed and have appealed to police and local authorities to take action. The town administrator has issued a cease and desist order, but at this time, the clams are still there, continuing to decay. Owner Dave Rose has declined to speak to reporters about the matter. This draw attention to the road and pressure local authorities into doing something about the rotting road as soon as possible. Rhodes neighbors have installed several handmade signs near the site featuring messages like "Honk if it stinks" and "Stop unwashed clamshells." This would be a great, like, benefit song, right? You know, you're like, get the clams. Get the clams off the road. They stink like a dead body, and you should have washed them first. There are clams together. They're attracting maggots. It smells like Satan's asshole in this bitch. Please move the clams. They're smelling like dog shit. Just kidding, dog shit would smell better than this clam shit. It's a choice you made now. Your name is David Rose, but you didn't wash your clams. Now it smells like piss, shit, asshole, shit, fuck, ow! Please wash the clams. I would love that. I would love. We should hold a benefit. We should figure this out. I want to organize a benefit for these clams. This neighborhood beset by clams. I want to start a clam coalition. That's gross. That's gross and disgusting. What if we set up a GoFundMe so we could move these goddamn clams? Like, let's just step in. Obviously, there's an element of this that's a neighborhood squabble, right? And they're like, all right, we are pissed off at this guy. I gotta wake up every day. I'm telling my kid to go to school. Hey, here, put on your coat, honey. Yeah, it still smells like Satan's unwashed, disgusting, festering, maggot attracting butthole. I wonder how much. How much would that take? Can we get a quote? Who does industrial decorating or whatever that would be called? Something that it would involve some sort of a bulldozer or something. Right? Like, we need a bulldozer, need a power washer. I feel like we can help this town. How big is Tiverton? I wonder. All right. Tiverton, Rhode Island. Let's search. Let's do a little segment we like to call Search for the Population of Tiverton. Tiverton, Rhode Island. Here we go. Let's go to Wikipedia. Tiverton is a town in Newport County, Rhode Island. The population was 15,780 in the 2010 census. All right. It's a beach town. It's incorporated by English colonists in 1694 as part of the Providence of Massachusetts Bay. In 2015, the town was recognized as a storm-ready community by the National Weather Service. We should add here that it also stinks like dying and decaying clams. That's another thing that should be on this Wikipedia, is that it smells like the festering butthole of Satan himself. Oh, can you believe that? Can you believe waking up to that smell? That's got to be the worst, right? What would be a worse thing? No, we're just going to get nasty stuff if I ask what would be worse than decaying clams to pave a driveway with. All right, let's change the subject. Let's change the subject. All right. The Buck, email in. We'll keep this going next week. Okay. How to solve for X. And what I imagine is David Rose walking out to the end of his driveway, and he just shrugs and says, I don't know. I thought clams were a natural aphrodisiac. I was just trying to get this party started, you prudes. Get the stick out of your butts because David Rose is trying to bang. I'm in it to win it. I paved my whole driveway with clams so everybody would get all horned up and bring their sweet business on over to the Rose household. Because every rose has its thorn, and mine is real prickly. Yeah, I'm David Rose, and I'm ready to bang. Hopefully there's going to be a few people listening to this that are going to be at the Nerdtacular show. Nerdtacular is at the end of the month. It's in Snowbird, Utah. In the clip-clop. It'll be the last Nerdtacular, at least of its making. Nerdtacular, of course, is the Scott Johnson program that he puts on every year. But he's taking a break after this year. So I would highly suggest that anybody who likes this show be out there, because not only will I be on a bunch of panels, will I be part of a bunch of other podcasts, I will, of course, be a member of the Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars, which is a trivia contest that I've won twice. The last time that I was a part of it, I was unfairly run out of the contest by biased questions. Without getting into details, I was competing in a category about Letterman top tens while somebody on the other team wrote top tens for David Letterman. You know, you win a couple of these, and next thing you know, they start to try to change the rules against you. Well, I'll be back for my crown at Nerdtacular. But one of the things that we're doing Saturday night, is Night Attack. And before that, I am going to be doing a one-man show, like I did last time. Except instead of doing a like one-man show, like a performance show, I am going to be debuting something new. It is something I like to call OPP. Other People's Pain. It goes like this. And this is going to require people who said both yes and no to the question, are you going to Nerdtacular? Because I'm going to need people that are not going to Nerdtacular and people that are. Let me explain. An element of this show that I love the most are the stories that are told. We had a great run of episodes about neon sign moments. Moments when somebody was trying to do everything they possibly could to signal that they wanted to have sex with you, and you were oblivious to it. They were flashing a neon sign, and you could not recognize that they were trying to signal you. We've had amazing, amazing stories being written in, and I want to lean into that for this idea. Because normally what happens is this is a one-man show, and I read your embarrassing story, and then I just kind of muse about it, and I go off on whatever tangent. But here's what I want to try to do, and this might be a total failure, but we're going to try and do it. I want to have your email that is written in, read not by me, but by somebody who volunteers to read it in the audience. So they are going to read it. They are going to read it in their, in whatever tone they want. And I am going to kind of stop them when we want to discuss stuff. Effectively, what I want to do is do a storytelling show where the person reading the story feels no compulsion to self-edit, right? You do all your self-editing before, and then somebody else will read your anonymous story while I question and interrogate them. So here's what I need you guys to do. BioCow, do the readers get a chance to pre-read? I haven't really thought of that, but probably, because we want them to be able to formulate it, but not too long. Like, I'd probably select everybody who's going to be on and just hand them out all the stuff at the beginning so they can read it if they want or they can go in cold. Captain Fubar, do the readers respond to your questions as if they're the original poster, the OP? I don't know. That's a funny idea. I'm glad I'm talking about this idea with you guys right now because these are funny ideas. It would be great if they were inhabiting this person. So here's what I want. Even if you've already written me with the best story that has ever happened to you, and let's keep this as embarrassing and detail-rich as possible, I want you to email me that story again to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put OPP in the subject line. Again, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put OPP in the subject line. If I don't get enough, I'm really only going to need 3 or 4, but hopefully I'll have a bunch of them to choose from by the time that all this rolls around. I'm very excited about it. I think it's something that is repeatable and super fun, takes the best elements of this show without it just being me rambling for an hour. And I'm pumped about it. Hopefully you guys are excited about it as well. And we can go from there. So, OPP, it'll be Saturday night at Nerdtacular. It will be live streamed, so you'll be able to see it if you submit something. And I'm pumped. I'm super excited about it. Let me tell you something else. Last night, the Warriors won the NBA championship. And Ashley and I decided to go out and experience the revelry. So we found a bar right on the corner of Broadway and Grand around where we live, which is a pretty major thoroughfare in downtown Oakland. And I was excited just to be around so many ecstatic people, very, very happy people, honking horns and playing trumpets and hanging out of car windows. Just a fun time, you know? Weren't any riots, which was nice. We didn't get too wild. But Ashley has this new thing with me, and it's not wholly unfair. There's a lot of things that I do to annoy my wife. I don't know how many of you guys are in relationships where annoying your significant other is a large part of how you entertain yourself. This is probably a sign that I am a bad person, that I derive joy from the pain I cause in those I love. However, let's just understand that that's what's happening. Yes. So many people flashing the new Whiskers order emote, which if you are a fan of my wife's stream, you will get it. But now my wife, Ashley, has found a way to combat this particular brand of behavior from me. And that is to just look me dead in the eyes and just ask me if I'm telling myself a joke. Now, initially, that doesn't sound like much. But when you understand that exactly what's happening is I'm annoying her so I can make myself laugh, it totally takes the fun out of it for me if she just calls out exactly what I'm doing. Are you telling yourself a joke? This first happened because there's this inside joke that we have with each other where each of us finds different ways to call each other a goose. This is going to be some very saccharine, coupley shit. Buckle up, fuckos. But this is derived. It's like a joke on joke on joke. I used to call her a silly goose, right? And so then it became this idea that we were physical geese. And now it has become this thing where we are each trying to outdo each other to show how tolerant we are, that we are in a bi-species relationship where one of us is a human and the other is a dirty British street goose named Hank. Don't ask me how we got to those other details. We did. And so a lot of this comes in with, like, just sly jabs. Like, if I'm got a runny nose, she'll just tell me that I have snot coming out of my beak. Right? And so as it's gone, it's become more involved where you want to drag people, we drag each other further and further into a conversation they don't know is a secret goose trap. So after one day, we went to a barbecue on Memorial Day weekend. We took an Uber all the way up to Richmond. And so we got out of the Uber, and I said to Ashley, man, that was really cool. I never really had noticed that about Uber before. And she was like,
what do you mean?
And I was like, well, I had never realized that Uber had that policy.
What
do you mean? What policy?
What do you mean? What policy?
Well, you know, you can get into an Uber and you can bring a full goose into the Uber and they won't kick you out. They're not going to stop the ride. Like they're just going to keep driving. And like, despite the fact that you have a wild animal in the Uber with you, that's customer service. I mean, hats off to Uber. To which she says,
fuck you.
But now this has become a thing. GeoZack22 says, you have a very unique relationship with your wife. Probably safe to say. But she's like, now it's become its own shorthand that whenever I want to short circuit a conversation or, you know, get under her skin, I'll just say, hey, by the way, do you know what the coolest thing about Uber is? And she just says,
fuck you.
So now it's gotten to the point where whenever I say, do you know what the coolest thing about Uber is? She tells me, are you telling yourself a joke? Is this a joke? I'll wait until you're done telling yourself a joke.
and it takes the fun right out of it. It just ruins it for me. It absolutely ruins it for me, and I don't even want to admit it to her. Nobody clip this out and send it to her and let her know that this is working, because it frustrates me so much. It's not funny if she's not annoyed. And if she's not annoyed and she's pointing out that I am just eroding our relationship bit by bit for my own personal amusement, then it's no longer funny. It's sad. And it reveals me to be the weird sociopath that I am. So just so you know, if you're in a relationship where your significant other is annoying you for their own game, just look them right in the eyes and say, "You telling yourself a joke?" Because I'm just saying, it's worked really, really, really well with me. In fact, you want to know what? Right after this, I'm going to go tell my wife that this has changed my entire outlook. I am. I'm going to tell her right to her face, you know? I'm going to go right down to the lake where the rest of her flock hangs out. I'm going to look her right in her bild face, and I'm going to say, "You want to know what, Hank? You've changed my mind. I'm no longer going to make fun of you." You know, we got this whole story here about how trend pieces mutate, but I feel like we are we're far enough along in the podcast that I might save it, because it's really, really good. This is really good. All right, so let's save it. Let's keep it moving here. If you want to write the show, you can do so at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Again, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Again, reminder, we want your embarrassing or you have to read this to believe it stories for the one-man show at Nerdtacular, OPP. So now is the time. Embarrassing stories, embarrassing stories, embarrassing stories. Go ahead and write them into me. For the next 3 weeks. We need them, we need them, we need them. All right. Will writes about Christian music. "I feel like POD is more like a Christian Saliva rather than Mudvayne. Just my opinion. Loving the new music. You're the greatest." I don't quite know exactly what music he's talking about, except for the charity ballad that I just sang for the Clam City in Rhode Island. Paul writes, "While I was listening to your recent TARDIS butt episode, you mentioned how you went to a Steak and Shake by the UCF campus. I realized as I heard it that I coincidentally had a work trip to Orlando that week, and that the hotel I already had reserved was within walking distance from your UCF Steak and Shake. So hi, I'm literally writing this email from the UCF Steak and Shake." Big round of applause. It's next to a Chili's and a miniature golf course. It's a pretty rad Steak and Shake. He continues writing. "I also had a Steak and Shake routine for a while. After my undergrad, a group of friends and I had started meeting up at a nearby Steak and Shake at 10 p.m. every Wednesday. I'm sure we were a terrible group, as we'd routinely show up with 10 to 15 people and spend several hours there, with only about half of us even bothering to order anything more than a soda. At first, that group had a lot of people that were still in college, and my employer sent me back to college to get my master's, so I became a college student again. But the group eventually fell apart as more and more people graduated and moved away and stayed up all night, becoming incompatible with 9-to-5 jobs. It was never my favorite restaurant or even my favorite burger, but there is a lot of decent food there for a really good price. Paul, can I just tell you that you became my favorite person and my least favorite person in one email? My favorite person because you would actually go visit a physical relic of a podcast that I'm doing. That always gets A, number one recognition from me. And B, you're my least favorite person because as a former server, I would literally want to insiguri your face if 15 people came in every Wednesday and didn't order anything other than a soda. I mean, although I guess that's pretty late. Maybe it's not the worst. As long as you tipped well. If you tipped well, that's fine. Please write in again and tell me you tipped well.
Poor Sean writes in. Another character here on this show. Poor Sean says, I just wanted to check back with you after last week's episode. I've taken your advice to heart and crafted, after careful consideration, what I consider a very careful plan. First, I will try to raise the money. So if you are not familiar, poor Sean was asking how he would, the ethics of whether or not to go to a wedding when you don't have the money to go to a wedding, specifically for family. So he said he's going to try to raise the money via GoFundMe at tinyurl.com/poorseanweddingswag. Again, that is P-O-O-R-S-E-A-N. So the Irish way of spelling Sean. P-O-O-R-S-E-A-N-W-E-D-D-I-N-G-S-W-A-G. Says, if I succeed there, I will give the Diamond Club the right to write my groomsman speech and have it recorded. If that falls through, I'll find another way. Maybe finally make that sad trip to the San Fernando Valley to take it up to Pooper to make this wedding happen. But we'll see. But thank you so much for your advice. It means a lot to me. So here is the GoFundMe. He's got $290 of his $1,100 goal. This campaign is trending, by the way. It is Poor Sean's wedding trip. So go ahead and check it out. You want to throw $10? I'll throw $10. I'm not going to do it on air, because if I did that, I'd probably accidentally give out my credit card information and address, which I am wont to do. But go ahead and support it. It is, again, tinyurl.com/poor, P-O-O-R, Sean, S-E-A-N, wedding, swag, S-W-A-G. Shiflock writes, you know that moment when you lock eyes with the person next to you at the bar for an awkward amount of time without moving, speaking, or changing your facial expression, and then later it's a game of who can fuck harder? I'm going to read that again. You know that moment when you lock eyes with a person next to you at a bar for an awkward amount of time without moving, speaking, or changing your facial expression, and then later it's a game of who can fuck who longer? Sorry, harder. Shiflock, I have a question for you. How was your trip to Ibiza? And what did your 6 months pregnant fiance say when she saw that you had been written up in the Daily Mail? I am pretty much bereft of any new sex stories on this show. I feel like I have told all of the sex stories that I have in a public square. The closest I have to it is somebody that I absolutely, I despised, and she despised me, but we found each other, we found each other in each other's company at a particularly lonely moment in both of our lives, and it was actually liberating having sex with somebody for whom I cared nothing about their opinion, and I think it was probably the same for her. That's the closest I have. But there was actual animus between the two of us. Like, we didn't like each other at all. For both very good reasons. But no, I've never looked at somebody without moving, speaking, or changing my facial expression, and then immediately starting having riotous sex with them. That is something that has not happened in my life. Although, I wish you, sir, a happy and healthy life. That's a hell of a way to go through it. And finally, we are building up. Finally, now that we are, we're coming to the end of me building up this Kickstarter. We're going to launch this Kickstarter, and then I can fully focus on the In Your House tour. We're going to do it through the South. Robert writes, Ninja Steve here. If you want to come to the South, why not? Huntsville, Alabama. The Rocket City's hopping nowadays. Not only do we have motherfucking rockets. Come on, man. Who doesn't like rockets? We've also got some awesome retro arcades, beautiful hiking trails, and a great up-and-coming food scene. You like beer? We got that. Craft brew scene is taking off here after lifetimes of living under archaic blue laws. Finally, over the past few years, state and local governments started passing laws that have allowed some pretty damn sweet craft breweries to take off. Get it? Take off? Like a rocket? Okay. Never mind. Bad pun. I don't have room to host me at any place, personally, but I'm sure we can secure a meet space in one of the local breweries, complete with bountiful amounts of delicious flowing beer, rockets, and beer. What more do you need? You know, I'm starting to think, would it be better for me to do this before or after Dragon Con? Would that make sense? I don't know. Maybe in your house tour before or after Dragon Con. We will have to see. But, folks, if you want to email me on this show, you can go ahead and do it. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Again, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. If you would like to get in touch with me via social media, then go ahead and do it by hitting me up, Justin R. Young, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all of them. Go ahead and hit me up. What do you say we you can hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com as well. Why is there more here left to see? But ladies and gentlemen, if you find yourself explaining to your six-month pregnant wife exactly why you were balls deep in a rando, if you find yourself accidentally making your entire town smell like the rancid butthole of Satan himself, if you find yourself writing me an email to make sure my one-man show doesn't suck, well then, folks, this is your old pal Justin Robert Young reminding you You're live on the internet. I wanted to ask you a question, Ash.
Okay.
Do you know what the coolest thing about Uber is?
Hate you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.